UOW, I'm Jeannie Yandel in for Bill Radke.
Hey, hey. Marxism has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho. Marxism has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
That's supporters of President Trump protesting Seattle statue of Vladimir Lenin. And it's not just Trump supporters pushing to remove the statue. Mayor Ed Murray says he wants it to come down, too.
You know, that monument represents to many people in the city their families having been murdered, the destructions of tens of millions of people. If I were Eastern European American or a Jewish American, I'm not sure how I'd feel about that monument. So I think it's time for these things to go. They don't represent the best of who we are.
That's Ed Murray talking with Q13 Fox. And it's not really clear how much the mayor can do about the Lenin statue. It's been on private property for over 20 years. But we'd love to know what you think about the Lenin statue. Is it art? Is it, as Mayor Murray said, a painful reminder of a dictator? We'd love to know what you think. Give us a call at 206-543-5869. We have a guest in the studio with us. You agree with Mayor Ed Murray, Yulia Shadiria. You're a math teacher in the Snohomish School District, and you grew up in Ukraine. You moved here with your family when you were 15 years old. What did you think about Vladimir Lenin when you were growing up?
That's correct. I grew up in Soviet Ukraine, and as your listeners probably know, back then Lenin was our idol. He was our leader. He was our chief. He was almost like a god to us, children who grew up in Soviet Union, to most children. And I, as a child, idolized him just like most other children did. There is a little anecdote that I have. I was going to a swimming pool when I was about 7, 8 years old, and I needed to jump into the water, and I was really afraid to jump. However, I thought to myself, imagine Lenin, Stalin, all of those people standing here and watching you, how embarrassing it would be, how shameful if you couldn't make that jump. So show that courage and jump in the water. And that actually made me jump. I guess that tells you a little bit about how I felt about Lenin when I was growing up.
He loomed very large in your consciousness, it sounded like. At what point did you start questioning that, I guess, that godlike status you described for him?
Yes, I personally didn't even have a chance to question it. However, Soviet Union started falling apart. And in the beginning of 90s, I was to become a young pioneer. It's a Young Pioneers was the youth organization statewide, which worthy students would join when they were about 8 years old. And I was very excited about it. And, you know, as I was putting on my red scarf, my mom and I was repeating the sort of like a pledge of allegiance to Lenin and communism that we were supposed to memorize by heart. My mom said, maybe you should not repeat that, you know. And I was like, why? I've been waiting for this moment. This is very, you know, honorable thing. And she said, well, maybe just you don't know everything just yet. And at that moment in history, Soviet Union was falling apart, and the truth about horrific mass murders, killings, repressions was coming out. And later I understood, as I was watching documentaries on TV or as friends or relatives were reciting the stories of repressions and how many people were just executed on the spot, how many thousands of people were just killed and tortured, and villages were exterminated, including women and children, if they dared to uprise against Bolsheviks. That is when I definitely kind of said, okay, well, I'm going to put this whole Lenin thing behind for now, and I guess I moved on.
Hmm. Well, you came here to the Northwest. When did you find out that we have a statue of Lenin in Fremont? When did you learn about that statue?
You know, I don't remember the exact time. However, I do remember it was some sort of a scavenger hunt. We either did with our school or work or college. We were running around Seattle and trying to find all the memorable places like the Troll, the Pike Place Market, right? And there was a statue of Lenin on there as well. And when I saw it, I was surprised and a little bit disappointed too. kind of coming from that background, from after all the documentaries I watched, after all the photos I saw of the executed, I was like, whoa, there's a Lenin statue here, right here in America, in Seattle, the land of the, you know, free and capitalist economy and all that. So that was surprising.
So you were surprised, you were a little disappointed. Do you still feel that way?
Yes, kind of. I guess I can't say that I'm walking every day offended by it or anything like that, but it is a little bit surprising. I've heard people say, well, it's more like an art piece. We kind of decorate it. We kind of have fun with it. And I can see their point, but at the same time, knowing things that I know, it seems that there is not enough kind of education and knowledge behind what that person is. And it's kind of making a light of a situation. For example, what I would like to say to those people, imagine a statue of Hitler, right? Being standing out in the open, even though it's a private property, as I understand, being kind of played with the same way. Would we be as accepting of that?
Well, we got a lot of feedback on Facebook over this question, what to do about the Lenin statue. And it's interesting to think about for people who have walked past the statue and not really considered Vladimir Lenin's legacy the way you're talking about. But one of our listeners, Percy, writes that it's true, Lenin was a beast, but the statue is used by many artists to remind us of the perpetually blood-soaked paws of the founder of the Soviet state. What do you have to say to Percy, who's arguing that we keep this statue up as a reminder of exactly what you're talking about?
I would have to say that maybe I'm not as knowledgeable about how it is being used. I would gladly accept the statue in a museum in an appropriate context. Let's say it was surrounded by the photos of hundreds of bodies with their genitals being turned inside out, with their skin on their hands being peeled, with scalps being removed, and that is all the context in which this statue is standing. The information, statistics on how many people were killed and his legacy, his bloody legacy that unveiled through the years of communist regimes all over the world, not just Ukraine, I would be absolutely okay with that and accepting of that. So maybe I do not know what it is, the way it is right now. Is it just kind of being decorated to make kind of fun? I don't think it's enough to just kind of have fun with it, because people driving by, walking by, they might not understand what the legacy is, that terrorist legacy behind that person.
Well, Yulia, we did hear from another listener, Sarah, who points out that when the Vladimir Lenin statue is decorated, it's decorated for Christmas. It's used in kind of a satirical way. And the goal there, one of the goals anyway, is to minimize his legacy and to sort of cast disdain on who he was. And in no way is it a respectful statue. It doesn't show respect and people don't treat it respectfully. What do you think of that idea, that this statue might serve as a way to minimize Lenin's legacy?
Well, think about same situation with a Hitler statue. Let's put a Hitler statue up, decorate it for Christmas, dance around it. I don't know. Sing Christmas carols around it. It seems like it is minimizing the legacy, but it also minimizes the huge sacrifice that was put at the feet of that person.
Hmm. Well, that
is my fear.
You talked about how you could see the statue remaining up if his legacy were contextualized. But absent that happening, I mean, you know where the statue is in Fremont.
Yes.
It stands, in front of a falafel place. What should we do? Should we take it down? Do you agree with Mayor Murray?
Well, I would like to say that I'm just trying to be a voice for Ukrainian community here. I'm not very familiar with what Mayor thinks about it in depth, or what his, you know, political stances. Neither am I connected to the protests that just happened recently. I hope it was peaceful, but I'm just trying to, and I'm not advocating anything illegal like vandalism or violence or anything like that. I'm just trying to bring our point across. This is how we feel. Okay, this is what we think when we look at that person. This is the legacy behind it. And if there's a way, a legal way to remove it, I would advocate for that, yes.
Yulia Shadiria, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're talking about the Vladimir Lenin statue in Fremont, in Seattle's Fremont neighborhood. We're having a conversation about whether it should remain up or whether it should come down. You can give us a call with your thoughts at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-5869. Marcy Silman, KUOW's arts reporter, what does that Lenin statue, how does that connect with the rest of Seattle's kind of, I think of two things when I think of sort of our public art legacy. I think of our sense of quirkiness, or at least how we like to publicly display a sense of quirkiness, and our sense of kind of, you know, not taking serious things seriously. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the Lenin statue, you have to take separate from Seattle's public art legacy because it was privately purchased and privately installed. So, that aside, I think listening to Yulia talk about this, it made me think, first of all, about the power of art and the power of public spaces and how we consider what goes in them. The two county and city programs that do fund public art have panels that talk about what's going to be there. And my guess is that this statue would not have passed muster. And yet it's also integral to this, at least the historic sense that Fremont had of itself. I think Fremont has changed. There's also Waiting for the Interurban. There's a statue of a clown that got put just down the street from Waiting for the Interurban. So the community itself, and the troll, the community itself has an array of very tongue-in-cheek artwork that is embraced in other ways. So I think setting aside the official policies for how official publicly funded art is cited and decided upon, this is an interesting question. But really what I wrote down as Julia was talking was, wow, art is really powerful. Monument is really powerful. And it's something we take for granted.
Well, we've got Susie Burke with us as well. She's the president of the Fremont Dock Company. She's also a major booster of all things Fremont. Susie, you've been involved with the shaping of Fremont over the last 20 years. So why does that neighborhood...
Oh, heck, a lot more than 20 years. Are you kidding? And you can put in a thimble what we've been able to do in the last 20 years.
Should I say something sort of a little less specific? Okay, so I'll do the public radio non-specific thing. For several decades, Susie Burke has been involved with the shaping of the Fremont neighborhood. So why do we need that particular statue in that neighborhood? Why do we still need the Lenin statue?
Well, we don't. It's for sale, and it's been for sale since it went up. But bear in mind where it went up for sale and how it got here. The story of Lenin is fantastic as a statue. The statue was built for a town in Yugoslavia that commissioned an artist who came from here. And he, when his statue was taken off its 18-foot pedestal there, was bereft that his piece of art was going to get melted down, and another art lover from Issaquah decided to buy it and bring it over. It ends up in Fremont simply because the Arts Foundry was here. They made it from 8 pieces of bronze into a statue and said, oh, can we display this somewhere so somebody might want to buy it? Because the poor guy that brought it over happened to die in an automobile accident. And his mother ends up with this statue that she can't use. So we put it in our flea market. And even the New York Times, which isn't long on humor sometimes, but they got the humor of Lenin sitting in the corner of a on a piece of my property where we had every Sunday the flea market with a big sign around its head, for sale, $150,000. And in small print it said, or best offer. And that laughed it around the world. I mean, Lenin got a lot of more than tongue-in-cheek poke at that one. And it then floated around the community right down to the Pioneer Square art walk thing Thursday nights and whatnot on the back of a Ballard Transfer flatbed, laying down. The statue is hollow. People got a good chance to look at how a piece of art that we never see things of this size and dimension done here in the United States, because we're looking at stuff that's 200 years old, and this goes back to a way of making statuary that's much older than that. Anyway, when it ended up on this particular little person's piece of property here in Fremont, it is not on a pedestal. It sits on the plain concrete, and it's looks like it's walking towards Ballard. The guy has a very, very dismal look on his face. This was not a complimentary statue. It's Lenin walking out of fire and rockets. And underneath his feet, right at the front of the thing, is the Mayor Norm Rice's signature scrawled in the concrete. Even Norm Rice got the humor of this.
Well, I have to ask, Susie, I mean, this was back in the early 90s. I mean, is it time to maybe revisit?
But
you're talking about a joke
that's
20 years old at this
point.
Yeah,
but this is our Cold War memories. We've got a rocket from Korea. We've got the biggest piece of the Berlin Wall in the United States. We don't throw these things away, but I will tell you about every piece of art in Fremont, including Waiting for the Interurban. The Arts Council, the Arts Commission of Seattle never accepted any of mm-hmm. them. All of these things have been pieces that nobody else would display, so we decided that if we could do it quite on the cheap, out in the public, people would get to poke at it. And we get more poking per statue than probably any place else in the city. People interact with these things. That statue has had a pink tutu on it. It has had a pumpkin on its head pretty much every Halloween since it went in there. It has been totally wrapped in foil. It quite often has a burrito in its hand. It has definitely had a shopping bag at Christmas time, and at Christmas time it gets a great big blue Jewish star on its head and a bunch of draping of neon lights, so that we can have Festivus underneath it. It is a joke that everybody interacts with, and we let anybody put a sign there that says, "Do you realize this guy?" And there's been signs there. This guy killed, you know. And then somebody brings a sign that says, "But the Chinese communist guy killed twice as many," you know, things like that.
Susie, this is Marcy. I have a question about how the community, do you collectively talk about the all the public art that does come into the neighborhood?
Oh, yeah, we used to have a committee called ARF, the Artistic Republic of Fremont. That's the one that put up Lenin. But, I mean, just recently we put up J.P. Patches
right.
and Gertrude, and again, that's a statue that people wanted to build and wanted to have, but the city, the Seattle Center turned it down. The Art Commission wasn't interested. And son of a gun, we said, hey, where do you want to put it? We'll figure it out.
So essentially you're saying that this is art that reflects the community.
Oh, well, the community likes quirky things. Oh,
right.
And by the rocket that's over here pointed at City Hall came off of a salvage, GI salvage place downtown that was being torn down. No one probably in the last, 10 years even knows it was ever there. But to us, it was the place where you turned on Battery Street and came out towards Fremont.
Well,
I mean, all of these things have something associated with them that probably isn't about Russia.
I have to ask, though, Susie, you just heard from Yulia Shadiria. She's a member of the community, too. I mean,
about it.
Well, but perhaps we don't take the statue down, but what about putting a plaque up? Something more permanent than just somebody putting up a sign.
Hey, anyone wants to come with a plaque, we'll put it up.
Okay. We also
we got the first $100 that paid to just do the concrete work under it came from the Seattle Communist Party. So the Seattle Republican, believe it or not, we had a Republican Party at that time, said, well, we'll match it. I mean, everybody was talking in the 90s about the fall of the Berlin Wall. We thought we were pretty on it when we got the biggest piece of the Berlin Wall. And do you know why it came here? It came here because Seattle wouldn't give them their time of day, and they wanted to honor the Boeing guys who made that Berlin airlift work. And there were guys killed flying in and out of Berlin to keep those people fed. Don't even begin to think that my generation doesn't know about communism. We know, and we laugh at it because we're here and it's not.
Fair enough, and I hear you when you say that you are okay with a plaque if somebody wants to add a plaque. We also had a suggestion from Chase on Facebook. He says that he loves the statue, but Lenin himself is a dicey figure to see celebrated publicly. So what if we kept the statue and replaced the head with somebody uncontroversial like Cisco Morris, the celebrity TV gardener? What do you think about that? Cisco's face, Lenin's statue?
I've told people that for years. Buy it, melt it down, make a statue of someone you like better, and bring it back. We'll put it up somewhere. Yeah. I say that to John Carlson all the time.
Susie Burke.
Believe me, I've taken more ribbing about that statue than anybody you want to notice walking around in Seattle. But art outlasts politics. Thank God.
Susie Burke, that is a really interesting place to end with. Thank you for coming on and talking with us about the Lenin statue. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
So, Marcy Silman, arts reporter for KUOW, you just heard Susie's last thought. You nodded. What do you think about this?
I think art does outlive politics, but I have to flash on all those marble monumental statues that were made in ancient Rome, and I'm sure Nero exists somewhere in some museum that I don't know about. It's interesting who we choose to celebrate and how we regard things that maybe have different meanings in different historical contexts. The question about monuments in general, Confederate monuments, Lenin, what have you, is do we rip down everything that we don't agree with, or do we contextualize it? Do we leave it up? I mean, these symbols are really powerful, and we're seeing how powerful and the kind of antipathy across the country that has resulted in violence when we talk about removing sculptures. If the community of Fremont would put it all to a vote and everybody agreed that they wanted to keep it, do we let them keep it? Do we speak for them? I mean, I don't know where the line is drawn, Jeannie, and the line between censorship of art and artists and free speech is fine. Fine line.
Well, we have a couple of callers on the line who want to get into this question of what we should do about this statue. We've got Michael, who's calling from Fremont. Michael, what do you think? Do we leave the Lenin statue up? Do we take it down?
Yeah, I think we should leave the statue up. I mean, it's something that has been there ever since I grew up in the neighborhood. And I think it serves as a good reminder of the lessons of the Russian Revolution, the history of Lenin and Trotsky during that time, especially, you know, 100 years later, almost to the date.
Do you think the statue on its own, though, really serves to help people better understand that legacy? I mean, you heard Yulia's argument that the statue on its own doesn't really tell anybody anything. There's nothing there explaining who Lenin was or what he did.
Well, I mean, It certainly is being used in different contexts. A lot of people have taken it into different meanings since then. But it opens a conversation. I mean, clearly we're having a conversation right now. I knew nothing about Lenin until, you know, I saw that statue and I asked, you know, who is that? And as I've grown up, especially people in my generation are very fond, very popular with socialism. And so it's important that we study the history of socialism, the history of previous revolutions, to understand how do we position ourselves today. You know, what do we learn from Marxist-Leninism? You know, what do we learn from the Russian Revolution and how it failed, the counter-revolution? Something that we need to keep in mind is that a lot of people falsely conflate the legacy of Lenin with the legacy of Stalin. Lenin is not responsible for, you know, the millions of deaths that a lot of people blame on the communist regime of the Soviet Union. And Stalin wasn't even able to come to power until after Lenin had died. If Lenin hadn't died, I think you're looking at a very different course of history in Russia.
Thank you so much for that phone call, Michael. We've also got Matt in Bremerton on the line. Matt, what do you think about this question? What should we do about the Lenin statue in Fremont?
Well, my thoughts are this. If I'm an artist who likes to paint nudes and natural surroundings, should I be allowed to have my models in public parks and public spaces? I think there's a reason we take controversial matters and issues, as well as statues, and place them in a setting where those who want to view them still have access, yet we don't offend those who are trying to rise above the current times of Charlottesville and the divides, the racial divides, the sexual divides that we have in this country. I'm not advocating destroying it, but we should rise to the higher level for the common good.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for that phone call. Nick is in the University District. He's waiting to weigh in on this, too. Nick, what do you think? What should we do about the Lenin statue?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I know what we should do, but I just wanted to share a story. I was traveling in England, and I actually met a man who heard I was from Seattle, and the first thing he said was, "Is there a Lenin statue in your city? I've heard of that place." And I said, "Yeah." And he had actually watched the statue we have in Fremont get taken down from his village in Yugoslavia. And he just talked about how powerful of a moment that was for him, you know, and it was just burned in his memory. And that's all he knew of our city. And so when I came back to Seattle after traveling, it very much transformed the way I viewed that statue on the corner there. And so I think going back to what, you know, sort of the debate a little bit between Ulia and Susie, you know, I think there might be a middle ground, because I think having context for that statue might be a great way to remember, you know, the tragedies that did happen in so many lives. But also it is a point of conversation and sort of communal commentary that I think might be worthwhile having there, as long as we can give it some context so that we're not forgetting, you know, the powerful and negative emotions that might come for so many who see that statue.
You raise an interesting point, because those of us who've been around Seattle long enough know that part of the reason that that statue came here was the people of Yugoslavia, first of all, it's no longer Yugoslavia, throwing off their communist history. So the toppling of statues like that all around the former Soviet republics and affiliated countries was very meaningful to them, that they were seeing freedom for themselves. The fact that it comes here, those of us who remember when it came, know that history and have that context in our memories. For newcomers to the city, it may be something else and mean something else. So maybe the context isn't necessarily pictures of bodies with their scalps and skin taken off, as Julia suggested, but something that reminds us of the moment that it entered into our city.
Nick, thank you so much for that story. That reframes this debate in my mind. It hadn't occurred to me that this was about both sides basically saying, your memory is too short. You don't remember this. And this, for some people, is how the statue arrived in Fremont. This, for others, is who Vladimir Lenin was and what his legacy was. That's an interesting thing to consider as we keep having this conversation about what to do with that statue. Marcy Silman, KUOW Arts Reporter, thank you for coming in and talking with us about this.
Always a pleasure, Jeannie.
How are you going to think about that statue when you walk past it now?
I see that statue frequently, and it has become just part of the scenery, but I think this conversation does make me think about my longevity in the city and makes me, again, I'm very thankful that art is so powerful that it evokes conversations like this. So always, art does outlive politics, as Susie Berg said. I'm with her on that.
Marcy Silman from KUOW's newsroom talking about art and politics. And listeners, we have one more question for you. if you had to choose a piece of music or literature or even a greeting in some human language to go out to the rest of the universe, what would you choose? We'll look at the choices that scientists made back in 1977 when they designed the so-called Golden Record. That's back in a minute when KUOW's Record returns.